Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Hour number two, Silver and Black Today on this Friday, February 12th, 2021. We are talking Raiders football. This is Scott Gulbranson. As always, our show is powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash, the injury attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's best. I'm also taking your phone calls, 702-365-9200 is the number. And by the way, every show, I get geared up and I have a routine, right? We all have routines. Habits are important. Good habits, that is, are important. And so what I do is I skip lunch and instead I have a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. If you've not had one of Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, you are missing out. Not only are you missing out on good health, but you're missing out on great food. It is all natural ingredients, none of that crappy sugar alcohols or any of those fake sweeteners. This is made with good superfoods like quinoa and kale and all that stuff that you want in your body. But the good news is it doesn't taste like crap, folks. No, it's not like you're eating an old leather shoe from some Looney Tunes cartoon. No, this is good stuff. These taste absolutely amazing. I had the mint chocolate chip brownie today, which is unreal. You guys have got to try it. The best way to try it, you can order them online with our special discount. If you're a listener to our show, you go to drjensnutrition.com, use the code SBT10, SBT10, you get a special discount plus you get free shipping. Or if you're in Las Vegas, you can go to Vegas Discount Nutrition. You can find them there, or you can find them at Terrible Herbst convenience stores. Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, they fuel me, they fuel this show. They are both members of Raider Nation's, Dr. Jen and Dr. Andrew, her husband. They are great, great people. So you're not only are you supporting a fantastic product, but you're supporting good people. They're members of Raider Nations. They're season ticket Raider Nation. They're season ticket holders at Allegiant Stadium, the Golden Knights. These are folks involved in their community. Go support them. DrJensNutrition.com. Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. Okay, we are back and we are talking about the Raiders. Now, this past year, the rookie class. We've talked a lot about Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnette, but they weren't the only two drafted. So our good friend Nick Shook, who writes over at NFL.com, you've heard him on this show many, many times, released his grades by division. And so he goes through the AFC West, and he starts, I'm going to start with the Raiders, right? Because I want to know, too, what grade would you give the Raiders? And that's talking about Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnette, Lynn Bowden Jr., who was traded for Raekwon McMillan, basically, Bryan Edwards, Tanner Muse, John Simpson, Amik Robertson. Okay? Seven players they drafted last year. What grade would you give them? Okay? Nick gave the Raiders a C. So he gave the Raiders class for last year's draft a C, talking about Ruggs, and didn't put up the numbers that you would expect from a number 12 overall pick. And also talked about Arnette, who still, you know, many in the NFL believe that he was selected early, but he had multiple health issues, the broken hand, the concussions, the COVID-19, he was there too. And then, of course, Bowden Jr. was traded. Edwards, again, big-bodied ex-receiver, a guy everybody wants. I mean, he was so impressive in that shortened camp when we were able to go to practices and watch him. We were all marveling at his physical tools and presence and what he was able to do. Couldn't stay on the field. He had the same problem in South Carolina. And then, of course, Tanner Muse, who was wiped out by the toe surgery. I've never been a believer that Tanner Muse is going to be a difference maker at this level. Just my opinion. He can prove me wrong, but that's just the way I look at it. And, of course, John Simpson, he got some time to develop, but he ended up making two starts because of Richie Incognito's injury. And he got good reps there. He was doing fine. But then, of course, Denzel Good stepped into that role, and the veteran just kind of took over there. But I think Simpson over time is going to develop into a nice pick, as do I think Amik Robertson. I think he was playing in a defense that was tough for him to learn, especially as a rookie, and the fact that he has to develop into a good NFL player. But Nick gave them a C. So I want to hear you guys. Do you agree with the C? Would you give it a better grade? Would you give it a worse grade? 702-365-9200 is the number. And I'll go through the rest of the division too. So the Raiders with a C. The Chargers were rated a B+. And that's primarily because of Justin Herbert, of course, the rookie of the year quarterback who was taken number 6 overall. Kenneth Murray, a guy I really liked, and I thought the Raiders might consider at linebacker and maybe late in the first round. But he did not have a great season. But he was tough, did not play well in coverage. And I think that's just one of the deals you saw this year with the offenses. I mean, I think defensive players in the NFL this year with the shortened season had a real tough time, especially younger players. Not all of them. There were some that obviously did really well, but I think that Kenneth Murray was one of those guys that just struggled a little bit. He showed flashes, but he struggled. And then they had Joshua Kelly, the running back, of course, out of UCLA, who did okay at times. They had Joe Reed at wide receiver. And so a B+ for the Chargers. Then they have the Chiefs at a B+. Now, this is where I disagree with Nick a little bit. Although I will say this, the Chiefs could have and should have addressed offensive line before they went running backs. As good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire was for them throughout the year, man, there was some guys available there at the bottom of the first round that you could have picked up that would have helped their offensive line, which was the big weakness which you saw exposed in their Super Bowl loss. So, and then Willie Gay, the linebacker, of course, who played pretty good. He had 8 starts, played in all 16 games. They did take an offensive tackle last year, Lucas Nying, but he opted out for COVID. So they lost that guy. Legarius Sneed, of course. And so I think a B+ for them. It's, you know, based on Edwards-Helaire, I guess you see that. But Gay, it was okay. So I don't know if I agree with the B+ with the Chiefs. But especially with that. But the Broncos were the highest, next highest rated with a B based on Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, the wide receiver. So they took those two wide receivers at the top. And so that's the grade that Nick gave out of that big draft class that the Broncos had, gave them a B. So they had the Raiders rated the worst in the division as far as rookie class grades. And it's hard to argue that he's wrong on that one, because if you look at, I mean, again, I think the Chiefs could be lower, maybe B minus, but if you look at what the Raiders drafted, and again, I'm unapologetic about the fact that I think Henry Ruggs is going to work out fine. A lot of people disagree with me, and that's cool. But I think Henry Ruggs, and then you have Damon Arnett, which you took really early in the first round compared to where most people had him slated. He's got some red flags coming out of Ohio State. Then Lynn Bowden is your next pick in the third round. And we all know what happened there. And Bryan Edwards. I mean, you look at these guys, none of these guys, with the exception of Simpson, could stay on the field. They just didn't stay on the field. Now, again, that's not passing judgment like they're never going to be good players. I'm not saying that at all. But this class, you know, I at the end of the year, I rated it incomplete. And I guess I was being nice, right? So I didn't give him a grade. I didn't give him a C like Nick did on NFL.com. But I gave him an incomplete because I thought, hey, look, I still think there's talent there. I still think some of these guys can do it. But man, as far as contributing in their first year and how it worked out in the first year, nah, not so great for a lot of different reasons. And everybody had COVID issues, so you know you can't use that as a singular issue, although it played into it. But other injuries, you know, Damon Arnett with the concussions because of how he's throwing himself around. You know, hopefully with better coaching, you hope that Gus Bradley and his team coming in, and Damon Arnett's going to have Ron Miles back there, who's a great, great coach. You have to hope that that sort of stuff goes away in year two. You need to see that in year two. You need to see Bryan Edwards, a guy that the Raiders might need to count on. If they have to go out and spend all that money on defense and they do it in free agency, which I'm in favor of, by the way, then Nelson Aguilar probably not going to come back. Now, you might be able to go find another veteran wide receiver on a team-friendly deal, but they need Bryan Edwards to come through. I mean, you're a third-round pick, right? So it's one of those deals, along with Henry Ruggs, where you need those guys that you drafted to address your wide receiver needs. You need them to come through. And they weren't able to fully, I say fully, this year, but next year they're going to need them. I mean, do you guys disagree with that? I just think, you know, before you talk about Allen Robinson, and I know he's a great wide receiver, all that stuff, they got guys. They spent capital on it. So you have to make a determination. Is Brian Edwards a guy you can count on? You're going to take a gamble on that one because he hasn't done it yet, right? He's only a year in. I know. He can develop, but you still have to do that. And you have to see whether or not, I mean, you look at the rest of the division and the draft worked out pretty well for most of those teams. I mean, it's hard to argue, although I would argue the Chiefs. The Chiefs might even be a C too. But they had one player who significantly contributed. And I think that's the difference. That's why they got a B when the Raiders were given a C. Because out of the Raiders' top four picks, one was traded before the season even started, and all the rest of them couldn't stay on the field. So, you know, that is what it is. And I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's truthful. I think the Raiders had a lot of draft capital last year, and it just hasn't panned out yet. But the question is, will it pan out? Because if it doesn't, then that's a whole different issue. And if the Raiders go out looking for wide receivers this year in free agency, then you know they're really concerned. But I don't think they will. I think defensive tackle, defensive end, maybe even linebacker if there's anybody available. Definitely in the draft there is. But I just don't know what the thinking is yet. But I think they like their young players. I think they count on their young players. They counted too much on them this year, and they didn't come through. So now that you know that, you know exactly what you need to fill. And I'm on the J.J. Watt train. I don't know about you guys, but I am. I think it would be a good fit. I'm going to ask Vinny Bonsignor about it when he joins us about 3:40. But I think it's a good move. That, coupled with a couple young guys, another veteran, safety, defensive end maybe even. Then you start cooking with grease, as Q would say. because I think that's what this team needs. If this team can get that defensive line to pressure quarterbacks in the AFC West, you change the whole dynamic. Because I think the Raiders' offense is good enough to win. I mean, you saw it, right? So I think they can do it. They just have to get the right personnel in. And that's always the hard thing, because you find talent, and talent is one thing, but does it all mesh together? And that's the hardest piece. Even if you have your own business out there, I don't care what business you're in. When you have a business, you have to put together the right people, the right ingredients to kind of get things moving. And sometimes you make the wrong choice. Doesn't mean that the person you brought into town, but for whatever reason, culturally doesn't fit. And in this case, you know, it's a locker room thing or whatever. And I don't know that that's the case with any of these guys, because I don't. But that's I'm just saying what a general manager like Mike Mayock and a coach like John Gruden have to consider when they're going out looking for free agents. They're going out, they're looking for possible draft picks in this draft, in this weird draft, by the way. If any year I was going to trade my first-round draft pick, it would be this year, especially if I'm going to go sign free agents. Because even though those rookie deals in the NFL are the most valuable thing there is, you just don't know what you're getting this year. I mean, sure, the top five, top 10 picks, maybe. But once you get past 10, with shortened season, with COVID and the restrictions and no new tape on a lot of these guys, and then, of course, there's no combine. Although there's some private combine, I guess they're going to do now. But other than that, there's nothing going on. Pro days don't count, man. You just don't get. And I'm not saying the three cone, which my friend Kelly Kreiner always makes fun of, and I agree with him. But those opportunities to evaluate those kids, the bigger opportunity at the combine, when you're talking about draft picks, is the interviews. You're sitting with somebody as a player personnel person in the NFL. You're able to sit across from them. Look them in the eye, read their body language. All you can't get that on Zoom. You just can't. You guys know what I mean. A lot of you out there are doing work meetings by Zoom and all this kind of stuff. I mean, hell, I'm doing this radio show from my home studio here in Las Vegas, right? I haven't been in the studio in months. And yeah, I can get the job done, but you know, if I was interviewing for a job or somebody's interviewing me, you don't get that sense. You need that feel. And so I think this year, as we've mentioned with several guests over the past couple weeks on this, the teams with the really good scouting departments are going to clean up, right? Because they're going to know, hey, you know what? Out of the guys left in the first round, there's just not enough value, so let's trade down. If I'm the Raiders, do I trade down from 17 into the second round, pick up a couple extra picks because I went out and I addressed my needs in free agency on defense, or at least a lot of them? And then do I pick up some offensive linemen? Do I pick up another offensive player? Might be a running back, whatever. But I think those are the questions you have to ask, right? And it's just this weird year, I'm telling you. I think you're going to see, remember, the first round, the biggest misnomer amongst NFL fans, in my view, is that a first-round draft pick is a sure thing. Not true. Something like 57% first-rounders don't end up being with their same team after 3 years or past their first contract, right? So if that's the case, you know, a lot of folks talk like a first-round draft pick. Now, if you're a top five, top 10, most of the time, you're going to see those guys most of the time work out. But the Raiders are at 17. They're kind of in the middle. That's why I always say 8-8 is the worst thing you can ever be in the NFL. Not to make you feel bad, Raider Nation, but 8-8 sucks because you know why? You're not bad enough where you're going to be in that top 10, and you're not good enough where it doesn't matter when you're already playing in the playoffs and fighting for a championship. So the Raiders are going to have to decide on that one. We'll see. I really believe you'll be able to tell a lot more about their draft strategy as we see what they do in free agency, especially early on. What are they going to go out and do? And I'm not talking about just who they're rumored, but actually who they go out and nab. Who do they go out and sign? I'm all for J.J. Watt. I like Richard Sherman. I like some of the other. Patrick Peterson was mentioned by a caller earlier. Absolutely. Guys should consider. So if they can go out and get some of those guys, then the draft takes on a whole different kind of meaning. And you start to look at different ways. You have more flexibility. I mean, I think they have more flexibility. If they go out and address some of their biggest defensive needs in free agency with some studs, then they can do a lot of things. I mean, they can look for that next offensive tackle if Trent Brown's on his way out. I think that's important. You can never get comfortable on either side of the ball. So if you're going to tell me the Raiders' offense doesn't need any help, you're wrong. You can always go for depth. You can always improve at certain positions. And I think that's something they should consider. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we will talk more with you about Raider football. Tell me what you give the rookie class. What do you think about these rankings from NFL.com and the grade of C that they gave this reg? I think that's actually a pretty generous. I might even give him a D, a C-, or like I said, I give him an incomplete. But we'll get your talk about that. What do you think about J.J. Watt coming to the Raiders? Is that a good one? And we'll talk a little more about the rest of the world of sports. You're with Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a Raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Welcome back. Getting your Friday pumped up. Getting those cold beverages ready. Some time at home. It's a nice sunny day here in Las Vegas. A little windy. We're supposed to get rain today. We got some snow in the mountains, but cleared up pretty good. We get the most weather we get here is of course the heat, but it's also wind. I mean, hey, Chris, you grab the mic. I want to talk to you about the wind.
The wind.
You there? No, he's there. He'll be there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah, the wind here. You know that, like when we get those winds, like they're unrelenting.
Yeah, they definitely are. Wow, that was weird. Yeah, I'm. It's one of the things. Like, I love our weather here. I mean, I grew up on you, like you. You know, you're from Chicago. I grew up in the Northeast. We kind of talked about our pizzas the other day, but
yes,
I can tolerate the cold. Like, I'm the idiot. I traveled to Stockholm, Sweden 2 years ago in January because I kind of missed the snow and the cold weather just for a long weekend, right? 5-6 days. But it's the wind. And even as a kid, I was never a fan of the wind. Like, cold is fine. Snow, yeah. I can live with. I don't like driving in it, but I can live with it. I go up visit one of my good friends in Salt Lake City. I can tolerate it. But it's when the wind starts blowing and it's when it's like really, really cold and it blows. it's rough, and it blows hard here. And for me, I get really bad allergies, so I'm not a fan of the wind for a multitude of reasons. But I'm not sure if it's worse, like, because we get the wind in the summer too.
Yes, and that, actually, I think it's worse in the summer.
It's almost like you're stepping into a furnace, right? Yes. Because you walk out your door, and it's 107, 109, and then you have 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds, and it's just blowing that hot air right in your face. I'm like, all right, I need to take a drive to San Diego because I got to get away from it for a couple of days. Like it's so funny. Like, we go away for the summer to avoid the wind and the heat, and other people come here because they're like, hey, Vegas, in the summer, we could do pool parties, and hopefully soon.
Exactly.
But, I mean, the wind sucks.
Well, and the wind, you're right. During the summer, man, I'm telling you, if you guys have been to Vegas in the summer, you know what I'm talking about. When you get in the wind, like, literally, it dries your eyeballs out. Like, it's blowing in your face, and you're getting sand and all kinds of stuff in your face. And it just, you already get dehydrated. Now, when you live here, you know how to hydrate. You'd constantly drink water, and so you get used to that, right? But that wind and what it does to your skin and all that stuff, man, it's tough. Although I'm now at the time of the year, and it started to warm up a little bit, where I want the warm weather. But then again, in about 2.5 months, I'm going to be saying, holy crap, it's 95 already.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I mean, I drive a convertible. So for me, it's like I specifically bought it because we do have so many nice months of weather here. But last year was hard because it was cold. It seemed like all the way up until April, May, and then it just got really hot really quick. And then our fall, which is normally like October, September, those are usually the best months of the year for weather.
Yeah.
It was so hot even into early October that I couldn't put the roof down. Like, it was still 99, 100 degrees into October, and it was kind of like a waste. I'm like, oh, man, but I had the roof down yesterday driving to work, and I'm like, yeah, I can deal with this. I like it when it's like 70. I think everybody does, right? Isn't that like ideal?
Yeah, and it's funny too, because with the shutdown, like, what I did was, like, it was like late September. So because usually here it's always around Halloween where it just drops off and it's cold. I mean, cold by our standards. You know, you're talking about highs in the low 50s during the day and stuff like that. And it didn't, like you said, it didn't happen till like beginning of November. And so I remember going out, I bought some new sweaters, and even though we don't go out anywhere right now, but I bought some new clothes, and literally I've not worn them that much because it's been such a warm, dry winter. And I have no idea. I should have somebody from the National Weather Service come on, because they're really good. But it seems like anytime we have a winter like this, the summer is absolutely brutal. It's like a pattern. But then I read the whole, you know, you have El Nino and La Nina. It's a La Nina year. It's a La Nina year, which is why we haven't had rain, which means it's going to be like a scorcher.
Anytime I hear El Nino or La Nina, I always think of that old Chris Farley SNL where he's like, I am El Nino, which is Spanish for...
Exactly.
The Nino.
By the way, we're taking your calls, 702-365-9200. What do you guys think of the Raiders draft class 2020? As I said, NFL.com gave them a C rating, the worst in the AFC West. So I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm also asking you your opinion on J.J. Watt as a Raider. We're going to go out on the phone line now, and it is Ron. Ron, you're on with Scott and Chris here on Silver and Black today. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, brother.
I enjoy the wind and stuff because it's -8 where I'm living here.
Oh no, where are you at?
No.
Montana.
Oh, Montana! Wow, you got that cold and all that up there, and then you got all those damn Californians moving. Well,
yep. So I live near Bozeman. I don't know if you know where that's at or not.
Oh yeah, of course.
I live in a little town called Belgrade, west of Bozeman, but it's -8.
Oh my gosh. In fact, Ron, I tweeted out a story, I think it was this morning or last night, about Bozeman and how you guys are having trouble with housing up there because there's so many people, teleworkers, moving up there and driving the price of your houses through the roof.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, you know, someone sells their $1 million house on the West Coast and they come here and it's like, they can buy 30 acres of land and $500,000 house and live like kings. And it just, you know, a lot of people can't make a living like that.
Yeah, that's tough. I know.
It's really it's insane.
So what do you think of J.J. Watt? Are you in favor of signing J.J. Watt?
I like J.J. Watt. Hopefully, you know, I don't think he's too rich for our blood, but I like J.J. Watt. And I think I read an extra article, and I would give us a C on our draft class. I think maybe the Chiefs ought to go to a C plus or something like that. But I don't know. I think we're good with a C. We had two of them weren't even on the. We had two rookies weren't even on the field.
Right.
Ruggs was hurt, and you know, I just. The incomplete would probably be, you know, pretty good, you know.
Yeah, but, that's what I said, Ron. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Stay warm up there and don't be a stranger, all right, my friend?
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right. There's Ron up near Bozeman, Montana.
That's crazy. Bozeman. I mean, I used to work in the Pioneer League, which is rookie ball, basically, and we were the affiliates for the Kansas City Royals. I was based in Idaho Falls, and Pioneer League, we had, I think, four teams in Montana, one in Wyoming, one in Idaho, and a couple in Utah. And I'll tell you what, going up into Montana in the summer, I mean, Missoula and Helena, talk about great weather in the summer. Oh my gosh, it was like 75 degrees every day, and it was clear skies. And I mean, Bozeman, where near where he's at, it's a little more flat. But man, I used to love those road trips to Missoula because Missoula was such a cool town where the university is. Oh my goodness.
I spent time when I was traveling with UNLV women's basketball. I went up to the NCAA tournament up there and had a great time. And there was this bar right across from campus called the Press Box, which nice. Was funny. Yeah, it was great. And so
Ed and Tyler Bischoff were not there.
No, exactly. But we went there and the people up there were so much fun. But we went out one night and up there in Montana, you can have establishments that have poker, right? So you can have poker rooms. And so we'd go into these bars downtown, if you remember, Chris, downtown Missoula is beautiful. It's a gorgeous town.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idyllic kind of old school, small downtown. And so we went out and we had a little too many adult beverages, myself and one of the assistant coaches at UNLV and some of the equipment guys. And so we had to walk. We were parked. A driver was parked in this parking lot down by the river there, because the University of Montana is right on the river. And we were parked in you walk down the ramp. So we had to walk like 5 or 6 blocks to get to the parking lot. As we're coming down the main drag in Missoula, it's probably 1 or 2 in the morning. And it's starting to snow, right? Because it's still only like March maybe late March. So they still get snow up there until May sometimes. So it's starting to lightly snow, and it just looks beautiful with the lights downtown. And we turn the corner, and in the middle of the road is the biggest moose I have ever seen in my life. Like massive. And if you know anything about moose, what do they call them? Yeah, moose. I forgot what the plural was.
I think it's moose, right? Plural is moose as well.
It is moose, yeah. So you look at, we turn the corner and there's this massive moose. And we had been told by our driver, because he drove us around basically the whole 4 or 5 days we were there. He said, yeah, if you ever see one, they're mean as hell. You know, just stay away from them. So we turn the corner. There's like these four drunk guys in the middle of the road, plus our designated driver. And like, we're in a stare down with the moose, and the snow is falling. And I'm like, oh my God, this is how I'm going to die in the middle of this road in Montana with a moose charging me. And we stood there still. I mean, literally nothing left. You can hear the wind. You can hear the snow coming down, hitting our hats and all that. And the moose kind of just turns and walks down and walks away.
Funny. Well, be glad it was a moose and not what their university nickname is, because that probably would have been much, much worse.
Yes, absolutely. The Grizzlies would not be good. All right, we got one caller we'll get here before the break, Chris. It is Frank. Frank, you're on with Scott and Chris here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Thanks good, Frank. What's going on today?
Great.
Hey, you're talking about the draft and reading the draft the last couple of years, and then also about J.J. Watt. Just going back about the draft the last 2 years, I just wanted to make sure that I don't think the Raiders are really getting a true measure, because I don't think a lot of those players can truly be evaluated fairly based upon the coaching. I don't think that, especially some of those defenders. I think you're going to see the reality of the draft classes come out when Gus Bradley, takes the reins on that defense and simplifies and lets those guys run, lets those dogs hunt.
Yeah, Frank, I agree with you. I think that's fair because, I have my doubts on some of them, but at the same time, at cornerback with Damon Arnett and then at safety with Jonathan Abram, especially, those are tough positions to learn in the NFL, especially with the way the NFL has gone offensively. And so you're right. That's why I said incomplete when the season was over, because I really want to see what they're able to do in a new scheme with a new coach. And like I said, Ron Miles on the back end, being that defensive backs coach, he's one of the best there is in the NFL. And so if he can't get it out of him, then I would be ready to say, okay, this guy's not going to make it. But I think they will. I think they'll come around, and I think you get some veterans on that defense, and that'll make all the difference in the world.
I agree. And at the same time, I really think that Cleve Farrell hasn't hit his stride yet. I think that once they put him in use him in a proper position, even if he slides over into a DT and slides a little bit more interior and actually gets a simplified and gets some support from the edges, I think he's going to come into his own. He's a big dude. And you can see, obviously, the jump from year one to year two. And then, I just don't think that we got a true measure. I mean, even also looking, the overall, the receivers. I think Ruggs needs to work in. And admittedly, he's saying that he just didn't have that overall, ability to come in during a COVID year. So I would wait another year. Let's go ahead. And I think that's the same thing that bodes with going out looking for Mayock and Gruden to see how they're drafting or what they're doing leading this organization. Let's give them another year, and then we can be truly critical of saying, hey, you know what? We're going to ride or die with these guys, but let's find out. Let's find out what they're getting. Now going to Watt. I really think that Watt would solidify the interior of that line. I think that he would be somebody that I would go after. I don't know how much gas he has in the tank, but I think that he is not a Witten. I think he's going to come in, he's going to produce, and he's going to produce by example, and he's going to give them something that they can use on the field. I'm a big Sherman fan. I'd like to see Sherman come over. I know he's injured. He got a little history of injuries, but I'd like to see him come over as a free safety. I'd like to see him kind of go like all Rod or Charles Woodson, kind of taking that corner, that middle, and showing these guys and actually helping them develop from an academic standpoint.
Yeah, Frank, I agree 100% with everything you just said, and I think you put J.J. Watt in the middle of that line, and you rotate him, right, too? That gives Mo Hurst somebody to really learn from and continue time to develop. It also gives, like you said, Cleveland Furl the opportunity to play inside and learn from one of the guys who did it the best. And then you address the one edge, and then you have Crosby on the other. So I think there's a great opportunity there. Now, I think there will be competition for him, though, so it's just going to come down to can they afford him. And what are they willing to give him, and what is he looking for from an opportunity? Does he want to go somewhere like Baltimore, who's really closer to an opportunity to win a championship than the Raiders are? Although I think with that guy in the middle, and you address some of the other free agents they could go get, coupled with some young guys early in the draft, they can contend and go deep in the playoffs. I really believe that, but we'll have to see what they're able to do with the financial constraints that they have. So it'll be fun to watch. Frank, great call, man. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again real soon. Okay, we're up against a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk to Vinny Bonsignor. We'll take your calls, too. Tell us what you think of J.J. Watt and what you think of the draft. How do you rate the draft class of 2020? Yeah, it's early. I give them an incomplete, but NFL.com gave them a C. So you tell me what you guys think here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here's your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Friday edition of Silver and Black Today, as we are on the home stretch. And thanks for all the great callers today, man. Great comments. about the Raiders draft class, of course, talking about the grade we saw up on CBSSports.com, and, of course, about J.J. Watt. We now go live through the magic of all these wires to the Raiders Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center and their beautiful studio there, where Vinny Bonsignor is about to do his show, which comes up next here at 4 o'clock in the huddle with Vinny and Lincoln Kennedy. Vinny, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. So J.J. Watt, right? So J.J. Watt officially released. Want to get your perspective on this. And if the price is right, which is always the big concern, I would love to see him in the middle of that line with those young guys there. I think he'd be such a great presence in the locker room. What say you?
Yeah, no question about it. He makes a lot of sense for the Raiders for different reasons. The question is, do the Raiders make a lot of sense for J.J. Watt at this point in his career? And that's really no disrespect to the Raiders necessarily. I would imagine at the age that J.J. Watt is right now, and you know everything that he's done in his career, and you know, as somebody that's a competitor, somebody that, you know, wants to win championships at this stage of your life, you probably want to go someplace where, you know, you're at the doorstep of a championship. If I'm J.J. Watt, that's what I'm looking at. And there's only a few teams probably that fit that kind of a bill. And I'm not quite sure the Raiders are there yet. They have to prove that they can make the playoffs. They have, you know, improvements that they need to make. If I'm J.J. Watt, no disrespect to the Raiders at all. But, you know, I probably have my eyes on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Chicago Bears, maybe the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, teams that you feel are a little bit more closer to winning a championship, because really that's the only thing that's lacking in J.J. Watt's career.
Yeah, that's true. I brought that up earlier, and it's true. I mean, when you get to that point in your career and you know you got a little bit left, right, but you know you're getting towards the next phase of your life and life after football probably, you start to think about, hey, what haven't I done? And you're right, he hasn't won a championship yet. But Vinny, you know, we keep talking about, I mean, this time of the year, of course, all the rumors start coming out. We have mock drafts, all that goodness that happens as football ends for the season. But we keep hearing about the fact that there's going to be so much movement, that because of the salary cap reduction, even though it's not going to be as big as we once anticipated, that you're going to start seeing guys, quote unquote, hit the streets pretty soon. How quickly you think that's going to happen? You think you start to see that? We've already started to see a little bit with J.J. Watt, but you think we're going to start to see some of those names drop pretty soon here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that the closer we start getting to the new league year, the closer that we start getting to, you know, what is the salary cap going to really look like, the more you're going to see teams maneuvering. It's not unusual at this time of year. I think it's probably going to be a little bit more hectic this year because, as you mentioned, the salary cap is going down. Normally it goes up. I don't think that it's gone down short of a work stoppage, you know, 10 years ago or so, or whenever that was. Short of that happening, it's always been the opposite. It always goes up. This year it's going to go down. We don't know exactly how much. Fortunately, it looks like it's going to be less than what the original, you know, estimations might be. So that's a good thing. But once you start getting a better feel for where the salary cap is going, that's when you're going to start seeing some of the moves. The Raiders have already made a decision to go ahead and, you know, release Terrell Williams. That was something that, you know, obviously was – it was imminent. It was inevitable. So it's not much of a breaking news story, but it just kind of shows you that that process is already starting. And I'm sure there's a lot of conversations happening right now in this very building that I'm in right now along the lines of, you know, how do we as the Raiders, as an organization, handle the salary cap? There's, you know, players that are pretty obvious that kind of stick out as sore thumbs in terms of guys that the Raiders can really turn to. Terrell was one of them in terms of, you know, creating some salary cap space and salary cap relief.
Vinny Bonsignor is our guest. He's coming up next here within the huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, who's his birthday boy. Or did he take his birthday off?
Well, you know, he's – Yeah, Lincoln is at this time of year. By the way, I think he was on. There was something he was on. He was on television earlier today. I was going to tape it so I could watch it a little bit later on. But you know, Lincoln's definitely spending time with the family right now this time of year. We wish him well. He'll be back sooner rather than later. But you know, up there in beautiful Arizona, and so he's happy with the family doing the dad thing.
That's good stuff. And Vinny, I'll tell you, so you talked about Terrell Williams, not a surprise. They clear up the money there. Of course, the big shoe, and it is a very big shoe that everybody's waiting to hear drop, is the decision on Trent Brown. What's the latest there? What does your gut tell you about what's going to happen with Trent Brown?
I still think it's in the decision-making process. There's a couple of different ways that could fall. We were talking about this yesterday. Look, here's the question that the organization has to ask. Was last year kind of a fluke for Trent Brown? Was it just the product of bad luck in terms of him playing just the four games out of the 16 games, eight plays of a fifth game? And you just feel like if you as an organization feel that was legitimately the case, that, you know what, it wasn't for lack of want, it wasn't for lack of effort, it wasn't for lack of care or professionalism or anything like that. He just went through one of those crazy years that sometimes happens between the injuries, between COVID-19, between, you know, whatever happened in Cleveland that you know, created a setback as well. If you as an organization feel like that was just a fluke, then, you know, it's easier for you then to turn and look at Trent Brown, the player, and say, you know, this guy, when he's out there playing, is one of the best right tackles in the NFL. And not having him creates a huge hole, a significant hole that the Raiders would then have to replace. So it solves a whole lot of problems for the Raiders if they can confidently answer that question of, we feel good moving forward that he's going to be able to give us games consistently after what happened last year. If that's a definitive, yeah, we're confident, then I could see him coming back. But maybe even at a renegotiated contract. Remember, Trent Brown doesn't have any more guaranteed money coming to him these next 2 years. There's ways to lower that cap hit, put some guaranteed money in his pocket, and give the Raiders a little bit of relief and bring him back at a lower number. So you could see something like that happening. But if they can't answer that question, if there's still any questions, any lingering concerns, any worry that, you know what, we're going to go down this road and it's going to be the same thing that happened last year, then it's probably time to move on from Trent Brown.
Vinny, one of the things that Mike Mayock talked about right after the season with you too was about the young players and commitment and making sure that they're doing everything from getting in the weight room to nutrition. Where's the sense of where that's at? Do you think those guys got the message? I know I've seen pictures of Darren Waller at the facility working out because I think they can go do limited workouts now. Are we getting a sense for those young guys really batting down the hatches, staying in Las Vegas or at least training where they're at to the point where they got the message from Mike Mayock?
Yeah, and not sure where they are doing it, but I don't think there was ever any lack of or any concern on the part of Mike Mayock and the organization of whether these guys were going to work hard or do their due diligence in terms of getting in the weight room and eating right and getting on a nutritional program. I don't think it was not said out of concern. It was just said out of common sense. This is the next step for young players, and you know, we have to remember that, you know, there wasn't a foundation set for these guys last year because they couldn't get into the building until the very first day of training camp, basically. Or for the rookies, it was a couple days before training camp started. Everything was done, on a drop of a dime basis. There was no foundation set in the spring. That's a tough deal for rookies. And in the case of Damon Arnette, it wasn't that he didn't want to work out. He couldn't work out. He had a broken wrist, and then it was operated on, so that cost him 7 weeks of being able to really get into the weight room and work on his body. You just can't do it. So again, as far as getting the message, I think the message is already been established. It's just, hey, this is what guys at this stage of their careers now need to do. Everybody on every team in every sport at the very end of the season, there's what they call an exit interview, where you literally sit down with your position coach, your head coach, the general manager, the coordinator of whatever side of the ball you play on, or if you're LeBron James, it's Frank Vogel, and the general manager of the Lakers. This is across all sports. Before you leave, everybody sits down and goes over the season that you had, and these are the things that we want you to work on. And when I cover the Lakers, we would literally cover the exit interviews. And then afterwards, mm-hmm. we would talk to the players. Then we would talk to the coaches. Hey, what'd they say to you? What was, you know, well, in the case of Kobe Bryant, you know, this is what we need him to do going into year three. This is what we needed him to do in year four. It wasn't, hey, he's getting put on notice. Kobe Bryant's getting put on notice. It was just like, hey, this is the stage.
It's feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And so it still kind of amazes me, the way people look at stuff like this, as it's all contentious and it's, you know, it's angry and everyone's mad at each other and you're on notice, Henry Ruggs. No, you're just, this is basically what we need you to do. We're happy where you are right now. This is where we feel like you can get to, you know, between now and when we see you again in the spring, and then, you know, going home from the spring, then there's, okay, this is what we need you to look like when you come back to training camp. It's all an ongoing process. And I think people and fans, maybe because it's just being reported on more and more, maybe fans are taking it the wrong way, but it's you have to have an understanding of this is just a normal process.
Well, and Vinny, as you know, from the world of social media too, people who are negative thinking, they look for things and they make it negative even if it's not. So yeah, that's just the way it goes today.
There are times where, hey, we're disappointed, you know, sure. with number seven or whoever it is. And he needs to really buckle down, and he understands that. And we can't have a repeat performance of last year. You hear that as well, but this wasn't sure. one of those type of situations.
No, it wasn't. Vinny, listen, have a good show. Make sure you tune in to Vinny coming up next here on In the Huddle, only on Raider Nation Radio. Take care, my man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Talk to you later.
All right, Vinny's coming up next right from the Raiders facility in Henderson. For Chris Chapman, my producer, co-host, and engineer, I am Scott Branson. We will talk to you guys on Tuesday. We're out Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday live here on Raider Nation Radio.